Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Tuesday's here, so is Spencer on Sports right here on 1600 AM KGYM. Also find us on the FM dial 102.3 and 106.3 in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac Lung for the ride as well with you till 3 o'clock, kicking off local programming, 4 hours of it right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600 is that talk or text line. You can pick up the phone, give us a call. You'll speak to Isaac, then you'll speak to me. Unless you're just calling and not talking at all, then Isaac will just hang up on you. Right? Yes, he's shaking his head. Okay. That's usually how things work. Or you want to grab your cell phone, text us your take on anything going on in the sports world today. You can do so. Same phone number, 319-366-1600. Lots to get to, so we're going to dive right in. It's the eve of Big Ten football media days. Tomorrow on the show, we'll have comments from Kirk Ferentz and other coaches. But today we get a little appetizer, I guess you could say. The preseason media poll. I know everybody loves preseason polls. Mark Dukes, our colleague here at KGYM, it's his favorite thing. Mark, if you're listening, I know you love preseason polls. I love them too. They're so fantastic to talk about. They're usually proven wrong by like week four, right? Maybe even week one in some cases. But we've got the Big Ten preseason media poll, of course, done by Cleveland.com. Not a, you know, generic media poll. It's done by Cleveland.com. They aggregate the votes and they come up with their Big Ten East champion, their Big Ten West champion. And, well, Iowa not projected to win the Big Ten West in the final year of the divisions in the Big Ten, but they were oh so close to being picked to win the West. We'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little bit. Get into some of the votes, the Big Ten championship game predictions that came out with this poll as well. Talk about that here coming up in just a few moments. Got some Big Ten coaching news. You heard SportsCenter talk about it a few moments ago at top of the hour. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, apparently going to be suspended for 4 games this season because of penalties coming from alleged false statements he made to NCAA investigators. Does that mean Michigan should, well, not be the favorite in the Big Ten East? I would say hold your horses on that, considering the games that Jim Harbaugh is expected to miss. Not against the strongest competition for his Wolverines team. We'll talk about that. And a big hire that may fly a little bit under the radar, but still a rather important, impactful hire, dare I say, for a Big Ten West rival, the Iowa Hawkeyes. No, it's not the Badgers. It is coached by, well, a former Hawkeye, a former coach of the Badgers as well. We'll tell you about that coming up in about 15, 20 minutes or so. Want to get into some NFL today. Consider a look at the big questions facing each team in the NFC North. We've been doing this series since Friday's show. Going in order of last year's finish, we had the Vikings, we had the Lions. Got the Green Bay Packers today. And I think we can all figure out what their biggest question is. But we'll talk about that. We heard a little bit more today. Green Bay kicking off their training camp up at 1265 Lombardi Avenue in Titletown. What do the Packers think going into first time in quite a while with a lot of unknowns, especially at the quarterback position? We'll get to that, get some insight from ESPN, some of their NFL reporters. And if we get some time, I want to take a look at this interesting post that came out from USA Today, actually yesterday afternoon after the show, but projected NFL records. I don't want to go through each team. We don't have enough time for that. But the NFC North, I think, probably on par with what a lot of us are expecting. But there's some teams that I think they're underestimating. USA Today Sports is their win totals for 2023. If we get some time before 3 o'clock, we'll dive into that as well. And baseball, working our way toward the trade deadline, which is 1 week from today. Are the Pirates listening to offers for Cedar Rapids native Mitch Keller? Some intel came out late yesterday and into the first part of today that the Pirates, they had a great start to the season. They've dropped back, now battling St. Louis for last place in the National League Central. Could they be moving some pieces? And could Mitch Keller be one of them? The Athletic had an interesting little look at what at least Pittsburgh is possibly thinking with this. It's not a sure thing, not imminent. Doesn't sound like it, at least right now. Now that I say that, I'm sure I'll open up Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it now, in the next few minutes and see something. It's the nature of how this works, right? I talk about it. I put it out there in the universe, and it happens. I say, that's not imminent. And then it happens. But we'll see. With that, if we get some time before 3, we'll dive into that story as well. But starting off with Big Ten football. Oh, boy, it is almost here. Media Day starting up tomorrow, running through Thursday in Indianapolis. And we've got the Big Ten preseason media poll from Cleveland.com. The big preseason Big Ten football poll is out. We can break it down to the finest detail, run it over with a fine-tooth comb if you want, or we could just stick to the basics. And I think we'll just stick to those basics. When it comes down to it, 37 voters from across the league picked Michigan to win the Big Ten East with 27 first-place votes, 27 of the 37 picking Michigan to win the Big Ten East. In the Big Ten West, and it's something we've been kind of debating here. If we listened in on Friday when I filled in for Todd Brommelkamp from 4 to 6, we covered Wisconsin on the countdown to kickoff. Who's it going to be in the Big Ten West? Is it going to be Wisconsin? Is it going to be Iowa? Is it going to be maybe a different team? Well, according to the voters on the Cleveland.com preseason Big Ten football poll, they have chosen the Wisconsin Badgers to be atop the conference with 20 first-place votes. It came down to a single point separating Wisconsin and Iowa. Wisconsin got 233 total points. Iowa got 232. Badgers getting 20 first-place votes, with Iowa with 16, and Minnesota got one first-place vote. I'd like to know who the one person who voted for Minnesota in the poll. Not saying Minnesota's going to be bad per se, but would I have given them a first-place vote if I had a vote? I don't think I would have. But Wisconsin picked to win the final year of the Big Ten West. Iowa picked second, Minnesota third. And we'll go through the rest of the votes here in just a moment. But I want to hear from you. We'll play a little game here. You could play along with us on the text line, 319-366-1600. Too high, too low, or just right? Iowa picked number two in the Big Ten West. What say you? 319-366-1600. Too high, too low, just right? Or do you just, you don't care about the preseason polls? Just get me to the first weekend in September when Utah State's on the other sideline at Kinnick Stadium. 319-366-1600. It matches up with what everyone else seems to be saying. Phil Steele, Athlon, go down the line. People think it's going to keep coming down to, and we keep seeing this prediction, keep seeing that the game pop up, what, October 14th at Camp Randall Stadium this year in Madison, Wisconsin. Going to come down to Wisconsin and Iowa. And I think the more and more we see these predictions come out, the preseason polls come out, if you want to put your stake in them, sure, go ahead. I think it's ultimately going to come down to that. More and more people that say that's what's going to be true, say that's going to be at least one of the most important games on the schedule for both teams, and we talked about that several weeks back, the most important conference game on the schedule for Big Ten teams, each Big Ten team. What was the one that we pointed at for Wisconsin and Iowa both? It was each other. And I think that game and this preseason poll further proves that that's truly the important game, one of the most important games, especially when it comes down to it, to predicting the Big Ten West in its final year of existence. It's going to be that one, October 14th, at Camp Randall Stadium against the Wisconsin football team. So again, too high, too low, just right. Iowa picked number two by the preseason media poll for the Big Ten Football Conference. Media Days again kicking off tomorrow. Iowa picked number two in the Big Ten West. Maybe it's good to be slept on. Maybe it's good to be, if you're an Iowa fan, to see that other team get the accolades, that other team get that target on their back, so to speak. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing. I don't know. If you're Wisconsin, new coach coming in, still plenty of good talent on that team, new quarterback, I think an improvement at quarterback with Tanner Mordecai, the presumed starter in Wisconsin. I would take him over Graham Mertz. I feel like any day, unless Graham Mertz is playing Illinois on that random Friday night game we had where he threw, what, five touchdowns, didn't miss only missed one pass. If we're going that version of Graham Mertz against a bad Illinois defense, maybe we're cooking with gas then, but boy, I think Wisconsin, at least right now, schedule's favorable. Do have to play Ohio State, but looking at the schedule for them, as we've talked about before, should be undefeated going into that game against Iowa, Buffalo, Washington State, Georgia Southern, Purdue, and Rutgers make up Wisconsin's schedule. Ohio State comes to Madison October 28th. Got to play at Minnesota, trying to break a losing streak, two-game losing skid to the Gophers, get the axe back. I think the voters are on to something. But like I said, it's all going to come down to what happens October 14th. Iowa got the best of Wisconsin last year. Is the improvements that Wisconsin hopes they've made, is that enough to get Iowa back at home in Madison? 319-366-1600. So Wisconsin picked to finish first in the West, Iowa number two, Minnesota number three, Illinois number four, Nebraska, first year under Matt Rhule, picked fifth, Purdue, not a lot expected of Purdue, new head coach, new quarterback, a few familiar faces there, but largely a new coaching staff and some new faces coming into Purdue. They were picked sixth, and we're not forgetting about Northwestern, but considering all that's gone on with Northwestern, now going in with an interim head coach and all the distractions, if you will, to put it very, very, very lightly. Don't want to make light of anything, but if we're just calling them for what they are, the off-the-field issues and problems that they've dealt with this offseason, don't think anybody's surprised to see them picked seventh in the Big Ten West. As for the Big Ten East, we mentioned Michigan, 27 first-place votes. Ohio State, second, got 8 first-place votes. And Penn State, third, with 2 first-place votes. Maryland, fourth. Michigan State, fifth. Rutgers, sixth. And Indiana. And what could be, well, maybe the final season for Tom Allen, if things don't go their way in Bloomington, Indiana, picked seventh by the Big Ten Media, the preseason football poll from Cleveland.com. Too high, too low, just right. Iowa picked second in the Big Ten West this year. Let's put Isaac on the spot. Producer Isaac, too high, too low, just right. What do you think?
I think Iowa will at least contend, so it feels just right since they only lost by one. Is it point? Is that what it's technically called?
They finished 1 point behind Wisconsin.
That feels just about right because I'm unsure whether or not Iowa will win the Big Ten West, but I think they'll be right up there with the Big Ten West. So it feels just about right. I'm hoping that they win the Big Ten West. I think they have a very good chance at, you know, beating Wisconsin, and maybe Wisconsin comes out a little bit flat at the beginning of the season. We talked about that too, how lots of changes going on there with the program. So it feels about right for Iowa. I think, I'm not sure if they'll win the Big Ten West, but I think they'll definitely be right in the conversation, either one or two.
319-366-1600. It certainly is going to be interesting to see this play out. I think we're all just ready for the season to be here. We still got a month to go before things officially get underway, but I think we're all just ready for the season to be here. But Iowa projected to finish second in the Big Ten West. It's interesting. I was reading kind of the methodology. They put all this in paper, and it's like, okay, you know, like, do we need to know your methodology and stuff and some of the stats and info behind the pick for the picks on Cleveland.com. The last time the previous closest vote for a division champion was 10 years ago, 2013. Michigan was picked to win the Legends division. Remember the Legends and Leaders? Oh, we all love those, don't we? Michigan in 2013 was picked over Nebraska by just 3 points. So this is the closest it's been since this poll started. It's the 13th annual Cleveland.com preseason Big Ten football poll. Again, 37 total voters taking part in this poll. When it comes to Big Ten championship game predictions, the most common championship matchup, 15 voters had Michigan beating Wisconsin. So if you're going to go with what the poll says, Michigan winning the East, Wisconsin winning the West, that means the Wolverines and Badgers would do battle in Indy. 15 voters said Michigan would beat Wisconsin. 11 voters said Michigan over Iowa. So a repeat of the 2021 game, the Michigan quarterback bowl with J.J. McCarthy going up against Cade McNamara if it were to happen. One voter had Michigan over Minnesota, which I'm still quite – I haven't done a deep dive into Minnesota. Maybe I need to here, but they could surprise. Will they? I just feel like they always seem to fall short, at least under P.J. Fleck. They seem like they're riding high. Okay, this is the year we're going to do it, and then they lose to Iowa. Wisconsin beats them, although they've beaten Wisconsin two straight years, so maybe I should – zip my lip with that, but Michigan over Minnesota certainly would be different. That is for sure. Four voters picked Ohio State over Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. Four voters picked Ohio State over Wisconsin, and one vote each went to Penn State over Iowa and Penn State over Wisconsin in the Big Ten title game. That's the title game prediction. So the most common combination: Michigan over Wisconsin. Not a single one thinks Iowa would actually win the Big Ten. Some have them winning the Big Ten West. 16 voters, again, picked Iowa to win the Big Ten West, but none of them say they'll actually win in Indy, which I think is a fair, you know, the Big Ten East has been the stronger of the two divisions. Would you wager to put Iowa ahead of Ohio State or Michigan? Even Penn State? I mean, we're going to get a preview, right, of the Penn State game. If that matchup does happen in Indy, we're going to get a preview on September 23rd. So, I mean, we'll see right away how Iowa stacks up. But I don't think any of us would put – you give them a fighting chance, right? I think we'd all be intrigued to see Iowa-Michigan with Cade McNamara, J.J. McCarthy going at it. But I don't think any of us would, at least right now, go up and say, yes, they're going to 100% beat them in the title game. But thought that was interesting. It's almost here. We'll hear, like we said, from Kirk Ferentz and other coaches, a two-day event in Indy, but things getting started tomorrow with the Big Ten Media Days. And that is the latest with the preseason media poll. If you're curious, how accurate have they been? Last 2 years, they've gotten their champions wrong. 2022, the pick was Ohio State. Actual was Michigan. 2021, the pick was Ohio State. The actual was Michigan. Last time they got it right was 2020. The pick was Ohio State. The actual title winner was Ohio State. Seems like the winner is the pick of the Big Ten champion is always either Ohio State or Michigan. Again, it just shows the strength of the Big Ten East. I'm not saying they're wrong in doing that. I think we all agree that it's probably going to be one of those teams unless we're shown something by the West contender, the West champion, that makes us change our minds. But media poll consistently picking Ohio State or Michigan to win the championship, and usually they're on base. The last time the consensus pick was somebody other than those schools was 2014, when Michigan State was the pick, and guess who won it? Ohio State. Even when they don't pick them, Ohio State or Michigan seems to win the Big Ten. If you want to read more, you can go to cleveland.com. I'd also shared the link on our Facebook page. Look for that with KGYM. 319-366-1600. More from college football. More on the Jim Harbaugh potential suspension. Kind of interesting news there. And interesting coaching move as well in the Big Ten West. Former Big Ten defensive coordinator and interim coach making a move to a division rival. Get you that news coming up here in just a little bit. Also talk some NFL and some Major League Baseball later on in the show. Thanks for checking out Spencer on Sports right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and it is going to be a hot and humid day today. We'll have plenty of sunshine, and temperatures will be climbing to a high around 90 degrees. As we head into tonight, some clouds will be building in, and there may be a few scattered storms around late tonight into early Wednesday morning. A storm or two could be strong with gusty winds and hail. Then, as we head into Wednesday, the clouds will clear, temperatures will climb up into the low to mid-90s, and heat index values could approach 100. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life.
So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's Community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Walk to defeat ALS August 20th at Kingston Stadium in Cedar Rapids. It's the number one way to unite and fundraise for those living with ALS. Register today and help the Iowa chapter of the ALS Association provide local family assistance and research to unlock ALS.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank is a true community bank, believing service still comes with a local touch. Since 1924, Fairfax State Savings Bank provides secure, honest, relationship-based banking. They understand the little things that make our community special. Strong personal connections, sincere friendliness, and a sense of pride in local growth. And that's how they've succeeded for nearly a century. Learn more at thebankhere.com. Fairfax State Savings Bank in Fairfax, Amana, and Cedar Rapids. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Update your home's exterior with 11% off everything at Menards. Protect your home with TimberCrest Premium Vinyl Siding. This low-maintenance siding is made to last and comes ready to install. Choose from 9 popular colors, all backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Save 11% on your entire siding project now at Menards. Good through July 30th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Get ready for Oktoberfest in Uptown Marion September 16th. Sample tasty suds from 30 Iowa breweries. Enjoy live music and games. Your general admission ticket includes access to breweries and a commemorative tasting glass. There's also a VIP option that gets you in an hour early with exclusive samples and swag. Raise your glass at Oktoberfest September 16th along 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. Presented by Sheets Forest Draper Insurance and the Marion Chamber of Commerce. Get your tickets now at eventbrite.com. Must be 21 or older.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 228 with Spencer on Sports for a Tuesday, 25th day of July of 2023, 319-366-1600. Poll question for you at KGYMradio.com, courtesy of our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Interesting series kicking off tonight in Major League Baseball, the Cubs and the White Sox. So asking you, who wins the rivalry series, the Cubbies or the Sox? You can vote courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement at KGYMradio.com. Split down the middle. Make your fan voice heard. Vote White Sox, vote Cubs. Do so at our website, KGYMradio.com. Continuing on with a little college football news, went through the Big Ten football preseason poll. Michigan and Wisconsin, respectively, the two division champions picked by the media panel via Cleveland.com. Speaking of Michigan, their head coach Jim Harbaugh expected to be suspended for 4 games this season after penalties from what are alleged false statements he originally made to NCAA investigators. This report first coming out from Yahoo Sports. It's an initial version. This agreement is reportedly an initial version of resolution, and it's not yet finalized. So it could be adjusted. The NCAA Committee on Infractions needs to meet to approve this. The committee has the authority to adjust penalties. So if they see fit, it could be more than four. I don't necessarily see why it would be more than four, but you never know. Sometimes, as we found out, the NCAA can rule rather arbitrarily. Stunning development. Like, whoa, NCAA, what's going on here? Granted, since we're talking about Michigan here and not some lower level, you know, FCS, D2, D3, NAA, you know, lower level school, right? Like, I feel like Michigan will get what they get. 4 games and okay, we're good here. What's interesting about this, and I kind of teased with the question earlier, does this impact Michigan's chances to win the Big Ten East? The short answer is no, because the first 4 games of the season for Michigan, I think they're slightly stronger than last year, but not all that much stronger. You remember last year, the Wolverines had one of the weakest non-conference schedules and blew through it like absolute nothing. Last year's Michigan schedule beat Colorado State 51-7. They beat Hawaii 56-10 and steamrolled UConn 59-0. That was last year. This year, Michigan's first 4 games, of which Jim Harbaugh is reportedly going to be suspended for, East Carolina. Okay, I'll give you this. I know my group of five teams well enough. East Carolina is usually a solid football team. They're not, you know, top level, but they're usually pretty good. But stacking up against Michigan, I don't think they're going to stand a chance, quite frankly. UNLV heads to the Big House September 9th. The Bowling Green Falcons come to Ann Arbor on September 16th. And then the final game of this, I guess, proposed suspension for Jim Harbaugh would be against mighty Rutgers for homecoming. So happy homecoming, Jim. You don't get to go to homecoming. You can't be in the stadium for homecoming. I digress. Rutgers would be the final game of the suspension for Jim Harbaugh, if it does indeed stay at 4 games. If it gets reduced, maybe 2, 3, whatever, just the non-conference. But I think Michigan will be fine. I don't think I'm wrong in saying that. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers. Then it gets somewhat interesting. They've got Harbaugh's potential first game back. They have to go to Nebraska and face the Huskers under Matt Rule. Then they play Minnesota in the battle for the Little Brown Jug at Huntington Bank Stadium up in the Twin Cities. Those could be interesting. I don't know, but I feel like Michigan will still be fine, even if Jim Harbaugh is suspended. But just seems like a slap on the wrist, doesn't it? You have to sit out 4 games, but they're against the softest part of your schedule. You get to coach against Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, Minnesota. You get to do that, but not against the softest part of the schedule. This all stems from an NCAA investigation, if you're unfamiliar with this, into recruiting violations committed by Harbaugh himself and Wolverine's staff members. NCAA enforcement staff, according to Yahoo Sports, saying that Harbaugh was dishonest about recruiting violations in his initial meeting with investigators. There was a quick resolution to this in the early part of the year that actually broke down, according to Yahoo Sports, after Harbaugh basically refused to admit that he lied to NCAA staff. Harbaugh says he didn't recall these events when first speaking with investigators, but that he was never purposefully dishonest with this. NCAA saying that his alleged initial cover-up was worse than the crime itself. From their perspective, notice of allegations, pardon me, sent to Michigan last year. The association cited 4 level 2 violations including meeting with two recruits during a COVID-19 dead period, also texting a recruit outside of an allowable time period, and having analysts perform on-field coaching duties during practice, also having coaches watching players work out via Zoom. So all level two violations. Harbaugh eventually acknowledged the program committed the level two violations, but refused to sign any document or publicly state that he was ever untruthful with the NCAA's staff. This negotiated resolution per Yahoo Sports is a signal that the coach did acknowledge some sort of dishonesty from when he talked to NCAA enforcement staff. So first four games that will be held off for Jim Harbaugh, it sure sounds like, here from this coming season. So interested to see if that punishment does get extended, kept the same, reduced. I guess we'll find out here in the coming days, weeks, months. You know, the NCAA works at a great pace, right? Look at the student athletes being impacted by the NCAA gambling investigation, and DCI is involved in that too. But we've gotten so many answers, haven't we, from the NCAA in a timely manner? It's just, they're so good at this. So great. Other coaching news. This is interesting, and I know some Badger fans, Wisconsin fans, are big mad at Jim Leonard. He is now a member and is a Wisconsin. I'm a Wisconsin, grew up in Wisconsin. Jim Leonard eats, sleeps, and breathes Wisconsin. He's from Wisconsin, played there, coached there. He's now at Illinois. Ooh, spicy. Jim Leonard reuniting with Brett Bielema and staff at the University of Illinois, the Illini announcing earlier today, Jim Leonard as a senior football analyst with Brett Bielema and the coaching staff in Champaign. Of course, Leonard, former defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, interim head coach, went 5-3 last fall as the interim head coach after Paul Chryst was terminated. Badger fans thought that being the native son, he would get the job. Thought that despite even going, 5-3, not the best finish to the season, losses to some rivals in there, that he would still get the nod just by benefit of the doubt. That's not exactly what happened. Luke Fickell was hired at Wisconsin, did make a pitch to keep Jim Leonard, but Leonard felt it was best for him to go elsewhere. Now Jim Leonard taking his talents, and he's one heck of a defensive coordinator, one heck of a coaching mind, taking his talents to Champaign, trying to help out the enemy in Illinois and go up against a team like Wisconsin. Certainly will be interesting to see what tweaks Jim Leonard made. He's not a coordinator, not, a ranking position, I guess, but senior football analyst. Certainly would like to have him on my team staff, right? Wouldn't you? Guy who's that sharp when it comes to defense, widely regarded as one of the best defensive coaches in college sports. Will be interesting to see how that impacts Illinois going forward. 319-366-1600, college football in the books, at least on this show. Plenty more football to get to. The NFC North, lots of questions surrounding the teams in the conference. It's going to be, by all intents and purposes, another weak edition of the NFC North. Green Bay Packers, what's up with them for 2023? Jordan Love is up. He's QB1 now. Aaron Rodgers getting diamond chains and all the different stuff in New York with the Jets. What does that mean for Green Bay going forward? We'll try to answer that question and more coming up in just a little bit. Spencer on Sports continues after this here on 1600 KGYM.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, where you make five picks against the spread each week with 100% payback. Or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Stay cool this
summer with AC Pro and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after mail-in rebate with the purchase of select AC Pro ready-to-use refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. Beat the heat before you hit the road with AC Pro at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. Okay, easy now. You're teaching your kid how to parallel park. Ouch! Turns out he likes to do it by feel. Don't worry, eBay Motors has bumpers, taillights, trunk lids, license plate holders, 122 million parts. Pull up just a little bit. And headlights. They've got lots of headlights. Get the right parts at the right prices. eBay Motors. Let's ride.
Just like that, we're back at 240 Spencer on Sports for a Tuesday, July 25th of 2023. 319-366-1600. Gym class on the way between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6. Don't forget, Todd, all this week has your shot at a pair of tickets to see Jeff Dunham at the Iowa State Fair. Jeff going to be at the State Fair Tuesday, August 15th at 8 o'clock. Todd playing another edition of Who Said That today, sometime between 4 and 6. Get to guess the voice of which one of Jeff's characters is being played. If you can guess it correctly, you'll win the pair of tickets to see Jeff Dunham at the Iowa State Fair. All the details for you about that on our website, kgymradio.com. Listen in for that chance to win coming up today between 4 and 6. 319-366-1600. Let's talk football. NFL, we've been talking football. It's like we haven't stopped. Here we are talking football. Move on to the NFL. We've been going through each NFC North team, four teams in the division. Lots of questions. I feel like the questions outweigh the teams in the division for 2023. And we've spent time. We started with the team that finished first last year on Friday, Minnesota Vikings. If you missed our conversation about that on Friday, you can check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. If you missed the discussion on the Detroit Lions from yesterday's show, also invite you to check out the show podcast at kgymradio.com. But today we move on, and again, oh, he's talking about his favorite teams again. Well, yeah, I'm a Packer fan. You know that if you listen to the show long enough, but try to keep this as independent as possible because even as a fan, I have plenty of questions. Isaac, I know you're a fan as well. I'm sure you and I have the same questions, and it all starts with, number 10 now. Not number 12, number 10 behind center. And Jordan Love, Packers, of course, are saying all the right things. They're not going to be like, well, we're really concerned. We're not sure what we're going to get here. And there's a chance he might be really good. There's a chance he might be terrible. They're not going to come out and say that. They're going to say we're confident in Jordan Love. We like his abilities. You know, he's our quarterback of the future. But the big question and why the reason why this NFC North, I think, is such a big question is because Aaron Rodgers is no longer there, and Jordan Love is now QB1 in Green Bay.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting. It's so weird to have a player like Jordan Love who's been in the league for a while, and you're like, I have no clue if he's good or bad or what to even expect from the player. Yeah, that's obviously the biggest question. I think another question that I've seen a ton is, what is Matt LaFleur like without Aaron Rodgers? I've seen a lot of people be like, is Matt LaFleur even a good head coach? He has a good winning record, obviously, right. But was that because he had, you know, back-to-back MVP Rodgers and then, you know, above average good Rodgers last season sort of thing? Or is Matt LaFleur actually good at scheming up an offense? Mm-hmm. And we'll see that definitely with Jordan Love, where is he able to put Jordan Love in positions where he can be successful? And then another question is, how do the young wide receivers perform? That's going to be another big one for Jordan Love's development is, can Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs really take a big step forward? I don't know, maybe not big, but you should continue to show what Christian Watson showed at the end of last season, right. Pretty much. And can that continue and carry on into this season?
Specifically with Jordan Love, he's thrown 83 total passes in the NFL. So, and we've seen some good, we've seen some bad from him. He came in two seasons ago against Kansas City and started against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, threw a touchdown pass, looked like he was nervous. You go back and watch that game. I don't, because it's a Packers loss. The last thing I need to do is watch my team lose more games, whether it's the Packers, the Brewers, the Bucks, whoever we're talking about. So, you remember watching that game. You look back at the highlights if you just like misery, I guess. He didn't play terrible, but he wasn't good either. He played against Detroit the final game that year in a game that was really meaningless, essentially, for Green Bay, number one. Detroit was kind of just playing out the string there, too. Showed some flashes against the Eagles in Week 12 last year against Philly on Sunday Night Football. 113 yards passing, threw a nice touchdown pass, 63-yarder to Christian Watson, and I think that game really kind of propelled the Packers in motion, even if it did before too. The small sample size that they had, that this is the year we're moving on from Aaron Rodgers. But that's question number one. Question number two, the inexperienced talent that they have at receiver and now at tight end. Robert Tonyan, now a Chicago Bear. They've got Luke Musgrave, who is a 22-year-old rookie, second-round pick. Tucker Kraft, who played all of like two snaps in Iowa City last year, but still was part of a national championship squad and certainly proved his mettle at South Dakota State. Third-round pick of the tight end there. And then rookie receivers, second-year receivers. You got Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Samari Toure, I think, is still there from Nebraska. He was a late-round pick last year. Jaden Reed, a kid I like a lot from Michigan State, was a second-round pick this year. Somebody's going to need to step up. The Packers, again, I want to say refusing, but opting not to sign a veteran presence at receiver or at tight end, kind of going with the young guys. And the future is really now for Green Bay going forward. And it's good to have running backs back in the fold with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Interested to see a guy like Tyler Goodson, who was a camp player, largely a practice squad guy last year for Iowa, see if he gets some extra snaps as back number three in Green Bay. But new era is here, and for Green Bay, I don't buy into. I saw even some clips today from ESPN personalities. Green Bay is going to win the NFC North. I don't buy that in the slightest. And yes, I have my green and gold glasses on and off here in the studio with that. Would I like them to win the division? Absolutely. Will they? Absolutely not. It's not going to be that. And if they do, you can color me every shade of surprised here in 2023. But the offense has a lot of the question marks. It starts, it ends with the starting quarterback. And another one, too, that I think a lot of people are maybe kind of pushing aside or maybe putting it on the back burner because of the focus on the quarterback position is the defense. The defense was not up to par last year. It was not good. With all the talent that they have on that defense, it regressed last year, and it was not good. And Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, taking some heat, not a lot of heat. I think Packer fans think he should be taking more heat for the lack of performance. But if you want to even give yourself a chance, you have to improve. Very much so on that side of the ball, too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Rashawn Gary comes back. Obviously, it'll be very interesting to see how Van Ness really performs. How they use Van Ness, I think, will be really interesting to see because he's a guy who offers a ton of different positions. He can play on the line or he can play out on the edge. I think they can use him in really interesting ways. I hope they do because I think it'd be fun to see him in, like, obvious passing situations. If he could line up as a D tackle and rush from the interior, that would be awesome to have that sort of flexibility for pass rush. So yeah, the defense is getting a little overlooked, and I mean it's not undeserved. Jordan Love is just such a question mark. Right. When you go from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, you're just kind of like, what is this team now? When Aaron Rodgers has been staple of the team since he's really been a starter, So. Yeah, I the defense, it will be interesting to see. I imagine. I think LaFleur talked about it last season. Joe Barry will definitely finish out the year, which is a little frustrating, right. I guess we'll say.
Putting on the fan glasses, yeah. It's frustrating. I can understand, he had like 1 year, right, to do, and maybe it was just a down year that happens, but boy, I mean, he's.
It was not good last year.
No, and to keep his job, he's got to prove his worth.
Yeah.
And I think I was reading this, you know, 8 former first round picks, 3 pro bowlers are all pros on the defense. You'd think they would be top 10, but they were 13th across the last two seasons, 21 points per game. And then when the offense struggled, Aaron Rodgers was dealing with, a thumb injury.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's had injuries left and right. And when he's not fully healthy, the offense can't pick you up. So if you get into a shootout, the defense can't stop, whoever, Josh Allen and the Bills, your Packer offense can't keep up. It just turns into a problem. So
the defense was, if I recall, it was pretty injured last year. I think, Jair missed a ton and Rashawn Gary got injured. Was it halfway through the season? I can't remember.
Torn ACL.
Yeah, torn ACL,
so that's
about
a big,
halfway through. I can't remember what week. But so there were some injuries. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see how David Bakhtiari comes back too. Will be another interesting thing, how the line performs. And it will be interesting to see how Jordan Love interacts with that line, because Bakhtiari and Rodgers had a great connection. Bakhtiari always knew where Rodgers was going to want to scramble out to outside the pocket and improvise. And with Jordan Love, that'll take some getting used to, because Aaron Rodgers now isn't obviously, he's obviously not as mobile as he used to be. I don't know, Super Bowl Rodgers and stuff like that. But he's still a pretty mobile guy. Jordan Love is probably more mobile than Aaron Rodgers is now. So it'll be interesting to see how often he looks to run instead of pass, or just sort of that dynamic with the line and how they kind of grow together and getting used to their tendencies.
Packers president Mark Murphy saying yesterday at the shareholders meeting up in Green Bay, it's going to take about a half season before we find out what they truly have in Jordan Love. And, well, if they realize they don't have it, then becomes the question, do we keep him around? They, gave him that one-year contract extension instead of the fifth-year option just because he was so unproven. Do they stick it out for another year? Do they tank for Caleb Williams or Drake May? I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns if Jordan Love certainly doesn't have it, but they do have a bunch of confidence in him as well. The team, the entire team, coaching staff down to the players, all showing their support for number 10 now as the QB1 in Green Bay. 319-366-1600. Quick 60-second timeout. Back to wrap it up after this here in the gym.
Anyone who has ever needed self-storage knows what a hassle it can be. You have to rent or borrow a truck and then find someone to help you move your stuff. And let's face it, moving furniture and heavy items without damaging them isn't easy. Renting the unit is worse. The hidden fees and admin costs are scarier than the dingy facilities you're leaving your stuff in. Why not use Closet Box instead? Closet Box is self-storage without leaving home. They'll pick up your belongings, store them securely, and bring any item back when you need it. The best part? Unlike traditional self-storage, you only pay for what you store. No paying for unused storage space. Closet Box's background check storage movers are licensed, bonded, and insured, and will take care of all of the heavy lifting. Closet Box's local storage centers are temperature controlled and monitored 24/7. Closet Box has an A+ rating from the BBB. Call 877-233-5696 now for the season's best rates. Get $50 off first month storage using code RADIO50. That's 877-233-5696. 877-233-5696.
Back at 2:53, Spencer at Sports winding down here for a Tuesday. 319-366-1600. Sticking with NFL. Going to be a full football show today. Wall-to-wall football. Wouldn't want it any other way. Saw this. This was interesting. USA Today. This is from Nate Davis at USA Today. They came out with their 2023 NFL record projections. For the NFC North specifically, which we've been looking at over the last handful of shows, they have 3 of the 4 teams finishing 7-10. I feel like not out of the realm of possibility, but I feel like there's going to be someone who wins a few more games, maybe gets to 9-8. Maybe that's Green Bay. Maybe it's Minnesota. But they actually have the Lions winning the division by a full 4 games, 11-6 for Detroit. I find that hard to believe. If the Lions are going to win it, they're going to win it at 10-7, maybe 9-8. I don't see the Lions winning 11 games. Maybe, am I a hater? I don't know. Maybe I haven't drank enough of the Kool-Aid yet. I'm not sure, but thought that was a little bit much. 11-6 for Detroit. They have the Bears, Packers, and Vikings all going 7-10. And I know I haven't made my official pick yet. I'm going to do that here coming up the next month. We have go full bore with the NFL here in the month of August, but Vikings being 7-10, I think you could see three teams at 9-8, maybe. I think maybe they're overselling the Bears. Bears, I think, will be slightly improved, but 7-10 from three wins last year, Not sure I buy USA Today's win projections. I also am not sure I buy their prediction of the Chiefs going 10-7. The Chiefs are going to be better than 10-7, aren't they? If the Chiefs and Broncos having identical records at 10-7, and the Chargers going 7-10, I'm not sure about that. I am taking this with the biggest grain of salt possible. They have the Jets and Dolphins, both wildcard teams. Jets at 12-5, behind the Bills at 13-4. Cowboys getting in at 9-8. Saints and Falcons, both 9-8. 49ers at 11-6. Seahawks at 10-7. The Chiefs at 10-7. The Lions winning 11 games is one thing, but the Chiefs only at 10-7. The defending Super Bowl champs at 10-7.
Yeah, that's nuts. The only possible way I see that happening is if Chris Jones just completely sits the season out.
But even then.
I don't think he's even going to sit out. I think he's going to try to hold out for a while, and then I think he's going to play the season.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they screen like a 14-win year for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
13 wins seems a lot more logical.
Right.
I don't know where 10-7 would come from. I know they lost Juju, but they've proven they don't need a wide receiver in that offense.
I saw highlights yesterday on their Twitter feed of Justin Ross, my guy from Clemson, catching practice passes from Mahomes. Justin Ross is healthy. The Chiefs got a really good one for absolutely nothing. So, yeah, I'm not sure I buy their win projections from USA Today. All right, that'll wrap up the show for today. I will be back with you tomorrow. Plenty of Big Ten Football Media Days talk. We'll get to our final NFC North team, which is the Bears. Yes, Bear fans, I will be nice. I will put my biases aside and talk about your team, with as much independence as possible. Have that for you tomorrow at 2 right here on KGYM. Gym class is next from 3 until 4. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Stay tuned.